Okay, thank you everyone for coming. There are a few people that did ask me to record it and make sure that I posted it because they won't be here, so I'm going to try and behave and do my best for that.
Hi, Rena.
It's appropriate that Rena should get a shout out. No recording. Okay. Parshas Bo. We're approaching Parshios, although you could probably say this about everyone, where there's just too many things that you can write a whole dissertation on in one Parsha to really pick something that stands out and focus on it. Obviously, there's the topic of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of the last few Makos, the Inyan of Gullus and Geula, which is something that I do think is appropriate to look into in its own right. But then there's this little thing in there which gets literally two psukim, and yet it's a monumental monumental event in the history of the Jewish people, which is that God commands the Jewish people something. And we're not talking about Matan Torah, we're not talking about any other period of time. We're talking about the first moment, and it's in Mitzrayim. It seems to be a random place. It seems to be a random time. But God decides, this is a good time for me to command the Jewish people the first mitzvah. Now, you may remember the first mitzvah being referred to in a mechilta quoted by Rashi in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, which is the first Rashi in the Torah, where Rashi quotes the Medrash that asks, why did the Torah need to begin with all of this, these stories of creation and of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and everything? Why doesn't it just start with HaChodesh HaZelechem, referring to the first mitzvah of the Torah? And there are various answers. There are two famous answers given there. And that's a whole idea on its own that could be delved into. But it should be, it should be understood. There are a few things that really should be clarified. I may not clarify everything tonight in this year, but the questions that we should deal with is, number one, why is this the first mitzvah that the Jewish people are given? It's the most simple question to ask, the question of why. Secondly, why is it given in Mitzrayim? Why didn't God wait and kind of bunch them all together at a very well-known event called the giving of the Torah? There seems to be an importance that this specific mitzvah could be given to the Jews separate from the rest of the giving of the Torah, and it be while they're still in Gullus, which is an interesting thing. Why is it this specific mitzvah? Was that the first question? Mm-hmm. Why this mitzvah? Right? Why this mitzvah? Why is this the first mitzvah? Right. Why is it this mitzvah that's the first mitzvah? Why is it in Gullus and Mitzrayim at this time and separated from the rest of the mitzvahs? If you look at the Alshich, you could do it on your own time. I think he asked something like 11 different questions on the text. I didn't quote the entire text. Source number one is just the first two psukim of Perek Beis. The entire text of this part of the Parsha, the immediate psukim following the mitzvah, is the Parsha of Karban Pesach. And that's another question you could ask, although I'm not going to go into it now. This seems to be some sort of introduction to the Karban Pesach, where Hashem says, HaChodesh HaZelechem, and then he starts saying, go take Sela Besavo, Sela Bai, so the famous Tzivui of the Karban Pesach. So there are lots of different ways that you could approach this and be confused. Another example is, I don't even put it here in the source sheet. Vayomer Hashem Moshe Aviel Aaron Be'eretz Mitzrayim Lemor. That's source number one. Why does he say Be'eretz Mitzrayim? We know where they are. They didn't leave yet, as far as we know. Why is it Moshe and Aaron this time? We know the famous pasuk is Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. And then Hachodesh Zelachem, the very next pasuk, which is not on the source sheet, mentions El Kol Adas B'nei Israel, which it's repeating it, but then emphasizing that it has to be to everyone. And there are several questions on that front, because the idea of Kiddush HaLevana is really not everyone's mitzvah. It's only the mitzvah on the Beis Din, So it would contradict the fact that God said, El Kol Hadas Bnei Yisrael. So I'm just giving you a taste of how many different things you can look at here and say, what is going on? It's not as simple as it seems. But let's begin with the basics. And what we must arrive at is, number one, what is this mitzvah? What is Rosh Chodesh about? What is it symbolizing? What does it mean to the Jewish people? And what is the message, maybe, that that we can take from it practically? It's something I always try and fit in to my shir. So, like I mentioned, source number one is the psukim themselves, the two psukim vayomer, Hashem, el Moshe, v'el Aaron, ve'eretz, Mitzrayim, limor. Like I mentioned, it's important to point out that the author of the Torah, the narrator, mentions that it's in Eretz Mitzrayim, which is an interesting thing. And then it says, Pasuk Beis, Achodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, Rishon Hu Lachem Lachadshei Hashana, which is basically the same idea written exactly the same way, just shuffling the words around the second time around. Right? This is for you, Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, the first, the head of the month, Rishon Hu Lachem, it is the first for you, Lachadshei Hashana, for the months. That itself, you could say, what's going on here? That's really just a longer way of saying the same thing. There are several commentaries that talk about what the difference between a Rosh and a Rishon is, and that's one way to start differentiating between the two phrases in the pasuk. But again, I want to leave that alone, just to focus on the fact that this is the first sivui in the Torah to Bnei Yisrael. So the first place that I like to look is the Medrash, and there are lots of different Medrashim on this pasuk. We're gonna focus on a few, one now and one a little later. Source number two, Medrash in Shmos, I believe it's the Medrash Rabbah, Perek Yibay, Simon Beis, Hachodesh HaZelechem, Chidush Zelechem. This is something you may have heard of. It's in Sifrei Chassidus, but it's actually not originating from Sifrei Chassidus. It's originating from the Medrash. It is renewal. It is something new to you. What does that mean? Allow the Medrash to explain. Shemiyom shenivra ha'olam lo chivavti uma vilakachti goy mikarev goy. It's beautiful. You'd think this is like the Svas Emes or Lubavitcher Rebbe or something like that. It's a Medrash. From the day that I created the world, I did not single out any one nation. I did not favor them. I did not take them out of any other nation and isolate them in any way, put them on a pedestal. Ella lachem, it is only you that I did this to, and he's referring to right now at that moment. Ella lachem ani mechadesh, you I am renewing, I am giving new life to. Hada hi dechsiv achodesh hazeh lachem. Davar acher achodesh hazeh, fine. So that's just an important point before I move on, that the first explanation of this medrash is very little to do with the fact that it's the beginning of the month, but it's more homiletically that what I'm telling you right now is that this is symbolizing whenever we are starting a new month, or specifically this new month, we should be remembering that God singled the Jewish people out, us out, and loved us more than anyone else, and he didn't do that to anyone else. Somehow that idea is not just connected to Pesach, that we know, and Chodesh Nisan, but the idea of being Mekadesh the Chodesh, this idea is somehow connected to it, according to this Medrash. Again, this mitzvah being the idea that the Jewish people have, sorry that I didn't explain what the mitzvah is, because it's not just saying there is something called Rosh Chodesh. There's a mitzvah here that we need to do, which is to recognize the beginning of each month, and to be Mekadesh it, to declare it the new month, and we do that in several ways. The Kiddush Levana is the way to do it. Back when there was a Sanhedrin, and when Bnei Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael, there's a very cool system that you could look up in the Mishnah, where different people would go out on mountains during the end of the month and would look for the new moon, and they would have a system of bonfires where they would show other cities and other neighborhoods, and it would finally get back to the Beis HaMikdash, to where the Sanhedrin was, and they would declare it a new month on a specific day. By the way, this is the source of the issue of Yom Tov Rishon and Sheni, because in Gullis it took a couple days actually could take a couple weeks for them to hear that 2 weeks ago was Rosh Chodesh on a Sunday instead of a Monday, in which case 2 weeks later, if it's a month of a holiday, then they realize that it may get to the 15th of the month before they know which day was Rosh Chodesh, so it's better to keep 2 days to make sure you did it. That's the source of this whole crazy thing about Jews going to America and Israel and all that. It's good, fun stuff. All comes from this first mitzvah.
But isn't it like now we definitely know which day it is?
Yeah, absolutely we know. But we still keep it because of the idea of Minhag Avasenu Biyadenu, that we don't give up Minhagim, that were so strongly kept within the Jewish community, even in this case when it's absolutely irrelevant and unnecessary. And there are those that fight it so much because it's actually not such a simple thing. I'm getting off track. It's not such a simple thing to celebrate a holiday 2 days. There's an isser called Baal Tosif. You can't keep 2 days of 3 days of Shavuos just because you want to. Meaning, we're already keeping a second day. You can't keep a third day of Rosh Hashanah just because you really love being judged. I don't know. That wasn't a great example. But you really like the shofar, let's say, right? You really like apples and honey. You can't keep your fish head. I don't know. You can't keep 3 days because there's something called Baal Tosif. Here, there's an entire minhag established unanimously, everyone across the board in Galus, that you keep a second day of every holiday. It's very interesting. Again, separate topic, separate thing for another time. But the mitzvah is to be mekadesh the chodesh, to declare it a new chodesh. It is something that God commanded us to do. It's something that it's hard for us to relate to, like you mentioned, Yael, because we don't have to do it anymore. It kind of happens on its own. But back in the day, it was something that depended on us, human beings, Jewish people, to declare when the new month was based on the seeing the new moon. So the first thing the Medrash says, like I mentioned, is that this should somehow symbolize the fact that it's the first day of the first month, and that this mitzvah is to declare it a new month starting from this first month of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, should remind us that God loved us more than other nations and removed us or took us out of another nation and declared us a special people. That is number one. Number two, Davar Acher HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, still in source number two, Cheshbonan Shel Chadashim. It's simply making a calculation of the months. Shemiyom Shabaresi Es Olami, Ha'isi Mechashev Chadashim U'maver Ovrim, Mikan ve'elech, masur b'yadchem, ve'ein atem masurim b'yado. Beautiful idea also, very different idea, more specifically focusing on the mitzvah itself of Kiddush HaChodesh, which is God basically saying to the Jewish people, I was in charge of the months until now. I was the one making sure each month started the right day, or declaring it, however you want to consider that in your head, declaring it a new month. From this moment on, I'm handing over one of my jobs to you. And it is now in your hands, the beautiful Lashon, Mikan ve'elech masur b'yadchem, it is now in your power, in your hands, ve'ein atem masurim b'yado, and you are not under its power anymore. That alone, you could just think about what that idea is, what God was giving to them. It's an unbelievably powerful thing. Again, it's hard for us to understand what that really meant, because we know that when the month ends, another one begins, and that's just how it works. Back then, you had to actually declare it a Hebrew month, and that had a lot of ramifications to it when the Jewish people did it, and it was a level of control that they didn't have before, and that's really an important point that we're going to hopefully touch upon, because remember what these people were until now. What were they? They were slaves. One of the most important or defining characteristic of a slave is your lack of control. The most essential thing that you lack control over as a slave is your time. You don't have the ability to say, I'm going to take a break now, or you know what, I want to get vacation days or anything like that. You don't get to do that, and this you're already beginning to see outside of the sources. There may be significance behind this being the first mitzvah that they're given. Fine. So I just want to point out there's two different explanations here of what it means, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. One referring to, if you think about someone beyond this generation, we're talking about a Medrash, so this is people by Sheni time or later, thinking, the first understanding of this is that I should be always thinking about the past, about how way back then, God gave me this special name called Bnei Yisrael. It gave all of us this special status of Bnei Yisrael, and I should be acknowledging that on Rosh Chodesh, or at least on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Secondly, not referring to the past, but referring to the future, I have a power over every subsequent month that I live to declare it that month. So we're talking about one thing that makes us refer to the past, and one thing that helps us look to the future. Interestingly, different Rishonim pick up on these two different ideas and kind of elaborate on it. We'll see the Ramban, source number 3, focuses on the past, whereas source number 4, the Sforno, focuses on the future. Let's see the Ramban. Source number 3, V'tam ha-chodesh hazeh lechem, Rosh Chodeshim, she-yimnu oso Yisrael chodesh ha-rishon. They should count it as the first month. U'mimenu yimnu kol ha-chadashim, sheni v'shlishi. They should count the rest of the month subsequently after that first month. Ad tashlum ha-shana v'shneim asar chodesh, until the end of the year, the 12th month. It's interesting how he made that connection. If we didn't see that medrash, I don't know if I would readily make the connection that he just made. Just this should be the first month, and we should count every month after this as a way of remembering the great nes. Ki b'chol eish shenazkir hachadashim, any time you mention any of the months, yeha nes nizkar. Maybe what he's saying like this is, if someone's saying this is the fifth month, well, it automatically makes you remember what the first month is, counting up to the fifth. And that first month, why is that the first month? Because that was the month where this amazing miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim happened. So anytime I'm counting number 9, so that's number 9, counting from the first month, right? Yetzias Mitzrayim, oh my gosh, that was awesome, thank you Hashem. So that's what he's saying, that every month should really contain in it some sort of recognition that God took us out of Mitzrayim, which clearly relates to that first explanation in the Medrash, which is every time you think about the months, remember that God loved you more than everyone else. Ki b'chol eish shenazkir hachadashim yanes nizkar. V'al kein ein lachadashim shem b'Torah. And for that reason, there's no name in the Torah. Think about it. If they each had different names, like we call them now, there would be no reason why Teves would remind you of Nisan, which would remind you of Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's no relationship between Teves and Nisan. But Teves, which is the 10th month, now that relates to the first month, which relates to Yetzias Mitzrayim. V'al kein ein lechadash shem b'Torah, ela yomar b'chodesh hashlishi. That's what the Torah says. The first month, the third month, etc. V'omer v'yihi b'shana hashenis b'chodesh hasheni na'le ha'anan. Just giving other examples in the Torah, v'chodesh hashvi v'chalachodesh v'chein kulam. There is never one mention of a name of a month. It is not a Jewish thing. What is it? Who? Where do we get names of months from? Anyone know?
Bavel.
Very good. We took that from Bavel, and that's a spoiler alert for source number 5. A very cool thing that I didn't think about relating to this point. So, one would think that it's actually not a good thing to name the months, give them names, because it undoes this beautiful message of any time, any month we're in, when it's Rosh Chodesh, or when we're reminded of the new month, we're actually reminded of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and reminded of our roots, or where we came from. And that's a beautiful message if you want to just end right there, and just think about such a strong thing that God wanted to instill in us from the very moment that we were born as a nation. Any time you get to a new month, remember where you came from. I don't care if it's 2,000 years later. You get to the fifth month, remember, 2,000 years ago, God separated me. God made us, gave us a destiny, chose us from every other nation, loved us, favored us. Happy new month.
We have it with the weekdays in Shabbos.
So. What, sorry?
Like Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni for Shabbos.
It's a similar idea. What do we say for Shusha Yom? Yom Yom Sheni v'Shabbos. Everything points us back to Shabbos, and that's the idea. I think that point might have been even mentioned either here or in a different commentary that says a similar thing. That it's similar to the days of the week in Shabbos. Similar relationship. Now here's a Sforno that goes in a completely different direction. But again, if you remember source number 2, the Medrash, it will sound a little familiar. Achodesh Azel Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. Mikan ve'elech yu achadashim shelachem. from now on, these months are yours. Does anyone here know? I know I like to refer a lot to 90s cartoons. But Captain Planet, anyone? Does anyone know? Oh, man. I'm alone here. Anyone in this entire room? Captain Planet, he's our hero. Going to take pollution down to zero. No? The power is yours. It's funny because it was way... Captain Planet was way ahead of its time because it was in the 90s when no one cared about pollution and we were just throwing garbage everywhere and drinking soda and plastic bottles and gas and everything. Yeah, but now everything's green, or at least we like to think it is. Back then, there was a cartoon for kids where five random people, and it was also amazingly politically correct because it was five different kids from different ethnicities. There was a white girl, a black guy, there was a Mexican kid, an African-American, right? I can't believe I'm getting racist again. That was right? But this is correct. This is politically correct. And they have these rings, and they, when there's a pollution problem, someone's trying to destroy our planet, they put their minds together, and they represent different elements, earth, wind, fire, water, and heart, the fifth one, which isn't an element at all. I don't understand how that works. And they put together, and then this amazingly cool superhero named Captain Planet arrived, and he could do stuff and save the planet. But his slogan was, "The power is yours." It was him that was saving the day every time, but it was them that had to summon him and see the problem and address it. This is a beautiful mashal. I didn't even realize when I was bringing this up, I thought I was just wasting time. This is a beautiful mashal for what is going on here. God is saying, I control things. It's my world. Don't be mistaken, like, the power is really mine, but I'm giving it to you. Like I said before, I'm giving you a job that I used to do, and now it's your job to do that. And that's really the Torah of Captain Planet, and that's the Torah of Kiddush HaChodesh. Right. Mikan ve'elcha yu ha'chadashim ha'chadashim shelachem, la'asos behem kiritzonchem. Do what you want. Party. Have three Rosh Chodeshes, whatever you want. No, that's not true. Avo b'mei ha'shibud, lo hayu yameichem shalachem. Like we mentioned before, when you were slaves, your days were not yours. Aval hayu la'avodas acheirim irtzonam, but you were subject to other people's work and their desires, their will. Lefichach rishon hu lachem lachat she'ashana ki bo hischil mitziyuschem habechiri. Whoa. Now we're getting somewhere. Not only is this mitzvah all about the future, has really very little to do with the past. It's all about how they're making a clean break from everything they were, their definition of who they thought they were as a people and as an individual. Do not call yourself a slave anymore. Do not consider yourselves a slave nation or, you know, a stranger in the Egyptian land. You are now a new nation and you own your time now. You must redefine yourselves according to this mitzvah. And it's this mitzvah alone, which is the one that's able to do it. It's you have your time now. You declare how your time will work. A beautiful idea. And again, it doesn't address the issue that the Ramban addresses. So they're really two very separate ideas. Maybe there's something that connects the two. Who knows? It's a good question. What was going on the day before this?
Until then.
It wasn't...
From creation until then.
No, I know, but I'm saying everything up until that.
They took the Babylonians? There was...
No, but here it says, now you decide... What Hashem was saying is he was declaring this the first day of the first month of the year. Which implies that before that it wasn't abundantly clear that this was the first month or that this was the first day of the month. So that God needed to inform us that. And therefore, maybe the other option, I know the answer, I think. I think I just remembered the answer. There was a solar calendar. The Egyptians went by the solar calendar. That's like historical fact. They were big into the sun.
Yeah.
So there were other calendars out there. People made calendars, you know, secular nations, whatever you want to call them. And they, I imagine, went by whatever calendars were out there. Here is what, this is a whole other point, is going by the moon as opposed to the sun. God was saying, here is a Jewish calendar. This is yours. It's not theirs. It's no one else's. Everyone else went by the sun. You go by the moon.
Babylonians didn't go by the moon?
Babylonians. There were other nations later in history that went by the moon. Babylonians may have done the lunar calendar thing. All right. I should check up.
That's later in time. Anyway.
Right. But meaning up until that point, there was, I believe there was no one doing a lunar calendar. So this was very different from everyone else. That's a good point alone. Thank you for bringing that up. And that's another part of it, that there were calendars out there, and God was literally establishing a new order of time for these people, which further established them as a unique entity that didn't relate to other nations of the world in this way at all.
There aren't like a lot of mitzvot kind of like that. Like a lot of the things that God gave Israel were like...
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, that's just differentiating them from all the nations.
Meaning, why didn't he give a Shabbos? That's a pretty different thing. Good question. Funny thing is, he did give us Shabbos before Har Sinai, also right after we got. What, sorry?
So we had like a set time for weeks.
Right, right. Yeah, but.
Well, that's Midrash.
Pesach is the day that we left Mitzrayim, and we know which day it was. But the idea that all the Avos kept all the mitzvahs in Torah, it's a good question. Was he baking matzahs? I don't know. It's a good question. It's a good question. Maybe. There are those that say they did it be kavana, that they were makaving to all the mitzvos before they were even commanded. Meaning there are certain mitzvos that were based on events, like holidays, or based on certain things, Shemitah, like, or lots of different things. Avoda and the Mikdash. He wasn't doing, you know, the Avoda on Yom Kippur, which is a whole parsha of Acharemos. He wasn't doing that. There was no Beis Hamikdash. So what does it mean that he did all 613? It's a good question. Fine. So you're asking a good question, meaning there are other things that specifically, that differentiate Jews and non-Jews. I mean, you could give kosher. That will do it. But the Sforno, the answer I'll say first of all, just it's a good question. At the same time, there's something specific about time regarding their situation, where this was not only a mitzvah that they had that made them unique, which maybe you can replicate with another type of mitzvah, but this was a mitzvah that redefined them as a nation because of how different their lives were up until that point. And if they now kept kosher, that wouldn't necessarily say anything about who they were as a people. It would just be like, we're people that just have a different diet. Here it's, we're people that belong to you, and now we don't belong to you. We belong to us. We are our own. And that's a very powerful point that, according to the Sforno, Hashem purposely had in mind when giving them this mitzvah, and that helps us understand why it had to be in Mitzrayim, because he wasn't waiting until they were at the Midbar getting the Torah. He was saying, now is where you're redefining yourself. Yetzias Mitzrayim is where I'm taking you as a nation. Right, the v'ga'alti part is what's happening right now. There's the beginning of era. V'ga'alti is when I'm taking you out of Mitzrayim. V'lakachti is by Matan Torah, really. So this is a redeeming of you redefining yourself as a nation happens before I give you the Torah. And it happens through this one mitzvah. And that's why it's separate from the other mitzvahs. That's why it has to be in Mitzrayim. And that's the impact that this type of mitzvah has on the people. Source number five, fascinating source. Rabbeinu B'chai always kind of looks at some. He's a Rishon, but he kind of, I don't know. There's something about his parish that's just nuanced. It's very very different, very interesting. I always find. Source number five again on the same subject, on the same pasuk. Beautiful idea. Bringing the future into the past, I guess, if you want to say it that way. Masha anu motziim shemos lechad sheyashana. Right, and the fact that he's kind of implying an important question that we asked before. The Ramban talked about a beautiful idea based on that medrash, or also found in that medrash about how naming them with not naming the month is in order to keep them numbered, in order to remind us of Yitzias Mitzrayim, of the Nes that Hashem did for us. So Rabbeinu B'chai is pointing out, well, nowadays we don't do that. I don't know why he chose five and then stopped right there, but he did. We got the point. These are the names of the months that we brought up with us from Bavel. He's referring to the Geula from Bavel when we went back to build the second Beis HaMikdash at the time of Ezra. Why do we bring that up with us? Why do we keep it? Why do we keep it to this day as if it's a religious thing, as if it's literally part of our religious identity as Jews that we have these different names for these months when really they're not at all originating from Jewish life? It used to be that we counted based on the first month of when Yetzias Mitzrayim took place. And this I underlined in my sheet. Aval kesha alinu mi Bavel bizman bayis sheni. When we made aliyah from Bavel to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and there was a second form of geula taking place right at that moment. Niskayim hakasov velo yomar od chai Hashem asher hela es bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim ki im chai Hashem asher hela. It's a nevuah from Yirmiyah about the geula after the destruction of the Korban, of the Beis HaMikdash, that when we are nigal again, when we are redeemed again, we're no longer going to talk about how awesome Yetzias Mitzrayim was, because we're going to be living in our own geula, and how amazing that will be, and how meaningful it will be to us, because we're living in it, so we're going to really be celebrating our own present geula, and that will, in a way, replace the Geula of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's amazing that he made this connection. Alkein hutzrichu likro achadashim b'shemos asher hayu nikroim b'bavel. That's specifically why we called the chadashim at this point in time after the names that we got from Bavel. V'zeh gamkein l'zikaron. It's for us to remember, hey, we left Bavel. We're here now, and we came out of Bavel, and I want to remember that Geula also. Not just also, but even more so. Kisham amadnu begalos umisham ga'alnu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's almost like the Rabbeinu Mechai wants to say, and this is such a unique thing, I don't know if I would ever be able to say it unless I read it from here. It's almost saying that this new geula redefined the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh on a practical level, that we no longer had to call it the names that the Torah, that Hashem gave it in the Torah, which is the numbers of the months, because of an experience that they had in history, i.e. the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Aliyah back to Israel, and the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh now symbolizes or is to remind us of the new Geula that we had. And it's this merging of the past and the present that, yes, we were taken out of Mitzrayim. Yes, there was an amazing Geula and there was amazing Nes there. And yes, we were given our time and we were free people and we redefined ourselves for the rest of history. But this new Geula is something that impacted my own personal life and gave me freedom from the Gullus that I was experiencing. And now Rosh Chodesh in some way, or the Chadashim, are really, the goal of, is to remind me of that more present, more, what's the word I'm thinking of? Personal, that's the word. Geula that I experienced in my life, me referring to someone leaving from Bavel. Which is a very interesting thing, very fascinating thing. Now let's talk about, maybe more on a personal level. This is talking about, as a nation, what Rosh Chodesh means. We talked about the past, we talked about the future. This Rabbeinu Bechai seems to merge them together, that we remember the past, but when it meets the future, when there's a new geula, it kind of takes on a new identity, and we define the mitzvah based on the geula that we experience as a nation. A beautiful idea, but let's take it one step further and bring it back to the personal, because every mitzvah is meant to have a personal as well as a communal aspect to it. So what is the mitzvah here on a personal level? I found this Torah Tamima. Here's my chiddush for the week, so we'll see how it goes. Take it for a ride. Something very fascinating. Chiddush. Right. Oh, I get it. Yeah, good stuff. Well done. Well done.
It's the same word.
Right.
Like it's the same words.
Right. It was a rabbi joke. Well done. HaChodesh HaZeh.
Go Hebrew.
Source number 6. So the Torah Tamima. Did anyone learn Torah Tamima before? It's Rav Baruch Epstein. He is the... He's the son of the Aruch HaShulchan,
yeah.
Rabbi Chaim Lachlan Epstein.
Yeah, that's it.
He wrote two Svarim that are quite well known. One is the Torah Tumimah, and the other one is the Makor Baruch. The Makor Baruch is a bunch of fat volumes that very few people have because it's not so much in print. And he writes a lot of different things in it about his life, about Chidushei Torah that he has. And there was a book that was published by Art Scroll that is one of the volumes of that Sefer Makor Baruch translated into English. Famously put in Chayram, instantly a bestseller classic called My Uncle the Netziv. Have you heard of that book? My Uncle the Netziv. Because, interestingly, his uncle was the Netziv, and later on in life, when the Netziv's wife passed away, who was Reb Baruch Epstein's aunt, he ended up marrying his niece, which was Reb Baruch Epstein's sister. So he was also my brother-in-law, the Netziv. He was also his brother-in-law, but he didn't write the book that way. He only mentioned him as his uncle. But he was what's also very interesting about him. This is hurting your head, I see. The Netziv married Reber Halevi Epstein's aunt, but then when she passed away, she married his niece. Okay. What's very interesting is he was not a Rosh Hashiva, Reber Epstein. He was not a Magid Shir. He was not a Mechanech. He was a businessman. He did business. I don't know what area of business. But he's a businessman, and he wrote his Chidushim based on the Ma'amari Chazal that are written on the Pesukim of the Torah. So the way the Torah Tumimah works is there is one section where all the Gemaras on any Pesuk is quoted, and then he has his comments on the quotations of the Gemara on this Pesuk. It's a very, very interesting way of writing a Perush. Some very insightful comments, and we're talking about someone who lived in the late 1800s, not that long ago. HaChodesh Hazeh, he quotes a Gemara in Menachos, I believe it's also a Medrash, Tana de Rebbe Yishmael, Chidush Rosh Chodesh Haya Kashelo Lemoshe Ad Sheheralo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'etzba. He kind of cuts it short, Shnemar HaChodesh Hazeh, fine. Just to quote, he rarely quotes the entire Gemara because he wrote very concisely. But there's a medrash, and it's a gemara also that says that why does the pasuk say hachodesh hazeh lachem? Because God used his big pointing finger kaviyachel to show Moshe where the moon was, where the new moon was, and he said this is how you know that it's Rosh Chodesh, and he showed him what the new moon looks like. And the Gemara starts with saying Moshe couldn't see it. It was hard for him to see. He's like, God, I'm all in. I'm a believer, but what are you pointing at? I don't see anything. If you know that the way the first month, the first of the month, the moon is at its smallest phase. It's a tiny sliver. It's the 15th of every month where the moon is full, but it's the first of the month where the moon is smallest, and that's how you know that it's starting again, when you see it at its absolute small state. So it's a nearly impossible to see. It seems Moshe had a problem seeing it, so God had to point it out to him. Hazeh, this is the new moon. This is where you can declare, or how you can declare, that it's Rosh Chodesh. A very interesting medrash. What is it meant to tell us? Not sure. This is the Torah Tumimah's take on it. And then I'll give you my take on the Torah Tumimah. Kibashos, Molad, this is the next page. The same source, the top of the next page. Or the other side of the page. Kibashas molad halavana eina nireis ki imat. At the moment of the beginning of the new moon, you see practically nothing. It's a tiny sliver in the sky. Kamasha kasa b'Rosh Hashanah, as it says in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, shasholim le'edim kazeh ra'isem, o kazeh, kazeh ra'isem o kazeh, and they kind of go like this. Did you see? It's kind of like a comedy sketch. Like, was it like this or was it like that? Right, that's how they asked them, the Edom, when they saw the new moon. He showed him with a finger. Fine. Basically, he's saying, he was just pointing out that this Medrash is showing that it's incredibly hard to point out where the new moon is. And if you think about it, it's kind of strange, maybe that's the word, or interesting, that God gave us this mitzvah. He said, here, you got your identity, you're a new people, you're under control of your time, Kiddush HaChodesh, and here's how it works. Okay, you see that little thing over there? You see, when it's like that, but like that, really, really, like that. Here, I'll point it out for you. Do you see it? That's your mitzvah. And we're like, great. Okay, did anyone get that? Did anyone get that here? Someone writing this down? Someone take a picture, right? And it's kind of interesting. That's where you have to find Kiddush HaChodesh in the small, tiny sliver of a moon. Hold that thought. Svasemes, I knew. I had to bring in some Hasidus when we're talking about moons and Jewish people and Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Just very ripe for Hasidus. Svasemes famously, and it's quoted by many other Sifrei Hasidim. Source number 7, I'm going to read it mostly outside. Kibagalus nechzar ze
ha'ischachus. But that means that,
No, go for it.
And I think that means that, today we don't even have any of that.
We don't have... Well, the calendar is set.
Right, but they're saying the whole point of it is, it was so hard for them to see, and, that was how they...
He wasn't necessarily saying that there was meaning to the fact that it was hard to see, but that's the reason why Moshe couldn't see it. Now, there's another interesting thing that I'm leaving aside, which is the Parsha talks about how this was a daytime event. I didn't quote the Pasuk there, but the Medrash acts. So this is a daytime event. Why is God showing the moon at the daytime? That doesn't make sense. You could see it sometimes, but I thought God's showing the moons. Why is he showing it at the daytime? So the answer is he showed it to him samuch l'shkia. It was right before sunset. Shkia, which also, again, it makes it that more. Bein Hashmashos to me, personally, is something where, God is hilarious. That just there's something called Bein Hashmashos where we are all relying on halacha, daytime, nighttime, 4:38. And then there's this time where God says, I don't know, just, don't do anything during that time. Important. Just wait, do something before, do something after. Just that time is really strange. I don't know what I was... I couldn't make it work day, night. I couldn't. So just sit there. Yeah, just talk a little. Don't eat. Don't daven. Don't do things. Just, right? So Bein Hashmashos is just the craziest thing. So this is also, it's we're talking about a halacha, a black and white halacha, but it's a measurement of a moon based on your two eyeballs looking at it and trying to remember what it looked like the night before, and if it's any smaller or bigger, and then you'll know, and that's the halacha here. And he's saying that's the way of understanding why it was hard for Moshe. Fine. So, hold that thought. Keep it in your back pocket. The Sasemes mentions, like we talked about, that HaChodesh, like the Medrash says, HaChodesh HaZelechem, the Hasidish idea, Chiddush is yours. Not just the fact that you have your time, not just the fact that you now have control over your months, declaring it, being in charge of it, but you now have the ability to renew yourself, to press the refresh button on you as a person, says the Svasemes. And he elaborates, Kibagolus and Nechzar Zeha Ischadshus, in a place of exile, specifically in Mitzrayim, this idea of renewal, of reigniting, of getting back into things, so to speak, was lost. In a time of Geula, at a time where things are clear, that everything is from Hashem, that is where this idea of renewal, of refreshment, comes from. This is an idea that we didn't really understand yet, that this idea of Chiddush comes from the recognizing that everything is from Hashem. One can even suggest that this is against the idea found in the Sforno and the Medrash, that the idea of Chiddush, of Kiddush HaChodesh, is the idea that it comes from you and not from God, right? That Hashem was giving it to us. And this seems to say, no, it's when you recognize that it's from Hashem, okay.
But it's still with recognition that God gave us, when the Sforno was saying that it's for us, we still understand that it's from Hashem.
Ah, so this is an important point. This is a good way to understand what he's saying, and I'm going to get back to that in a second. So I'm skipping a couple lines down. B'zeh mashmaus hachodesh hazeh lechem sheyachol kol echen miYisrael le'orer his chadshus zeh al yedei emuna shemevar b'livo shakol me'ashem. Yisparach. What does it mean, HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem? or hachadash as alechem, this ability to renew yourself is for you, that any individual, and again, he's talking about individuals when we're talking about a kiddush achodesh, a mitzvah that was given to the community, to the nation of Jews, he's saying that the message here is that any little simple Jew has the ability to awaken in himself this renewal, this ability to have a fresh start through this newfound belief in his heart that everything comes from Hashem. And then he gives you a very interesting comparison or understanding based on this. V'zeh ha-hefresh bein Shabbos l'Rosh Chodesh. This is the difference between Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. She-Shabbos me'ein olam haba k'viyah v'kayma she'ein hester. Shabbos, it's there. It's the seventh day. It's coming, right? When the sun goes down, Shabbos is there. It don't matter if you're ready. It don't matter if you counted it. If it doesn't matter. It's there. It's me'ein olam haba. He's saying it's not just me'ein olam haba because of how holy it is, but because it's real and it's there and it ain't going nowhere. Kamasha kasav misavir mina. Fine. But Rosh Chodesh, on the other hand, hu lahair ha'hischadshus gam b'yamos achol. But Rosh Chodesh is saying, even on any regular other day, you can suddenly burst into or spontaneously create a day as holy or as beautiful as Shabbos, even on a regular day. You can find that belief in God, that unbelievable connection to Hashem, through that clarity of knowing that Akol min Hashem Yisbarach, like he said, on a day like Rosh Chodesh, and that doesn't require there to be a kavua holiday coming up like Shabbos. There's this spontaneous, there's this something that I can create it, that I have the ability to do it. It doesn't need to be something that's already set up for me, that is imposed upon me. It's something that I could bring out from my insides into the world, into my own world. V'zeh talui b'Yisrael. And that's why it's talui on the Jewish people. To create that change, that new found love, that ability to get that fresh start. So you mentioned, Yael, that maybe the idea to connect this back to the Ramban and the Sforno is, obviously the Ramban mentioning that when we think about every month and we think about the number, how it relates back to the first month and how it's all from the nace that Hashem did by taking us out, and the Medrash saying that he loved us and he separated us because he cared about us more than anyone else. So that's a clear recognition of Hashem's hand in our lives, collectively as well as individually. But maybe the idea, to elaborate on what Yael was pointing out, the fact that God gave us that amazing job or that freedom, that independence, maybe the focus isn't as much that we now have it, even though that's a big part of it, but the fact that God gave that to us and that we didn't earn it, and that it wasn't coming to us anyways. It wasn't like it was just a matter of time. But it was God literally picked us up, put us down in our own place, and said, here you go. This is yours. And it's that recognition, even when we do something on our own, the fact that we are able to do anything on our own is a testament to what God has given us. And it's whenever we do make an amazing accomplishment, and when we do something new and nice and fun, and when we feel good about it, and we're so close to feeling like, hey, look how awesome I am, it's at that moment where we really should say, wow, look how awesome Hashem is. Have you guys ever heard of Steve Harvey? Do you know who that is? Yeah. A comedian?
Yeah.
Do you see that he was like in some blurb in the past day or two? Just popped into my head. He had his big birthday this week or something. 60th birthday, I think it was his 60th. And he still has a talk show, the Steve Harvey Show, some talk show. And they were giving him surprise presents, and it was a whole big shebang, right? And his producer said, Steve, I have a big surprise for you. I think there's a video on this on the interweb. And he said, I have a big surprise for you. And you hear like the phone start ringing in the studio. And as it's ringing, there's a picture of this old, elderly, white guy, random guy. And Steve turns around and looks at the picture as the phone's ringing, and he starts bursting out into tears. gets overwhelmed with emotion. Obviously, the producer figured out something, I don't know, and no one knew what was going on. Obviously, they saw that this was a very emotional moment. And then the phone picks up, and the producer's like, hey, do you want to say something to Steve? He's like, hey, Steve, buddy boy, you still love me? You still remember me? And he couldn't control himself about how emotional he was. And apparently, what happened was, when Steve was a little kid, he had nothing. I don't think his family had anything in terms of possessions or whatever. And he had no future because he couldn't even get an education. He couldn't even get on his own two feet. And there was this guy who owned a store in his neighborhood, random white guy, a lot younger back then. And he decided to give Steve a job in his store, and he would help him work, and he would give him some money to get him on his feet. And then Steve grew up like working for this guy, and then Steve decided he wanted to go into comedy, and this guy's business started to do well, and he had like an account with a travel agency, and he told the travel agency, open an account for Steve and have him book flights and just charge my account for it. So anytime he wanted to go fly to do a gig, to do a show, and he had no money to pay for it, he could just book any ticket he wanted, and he got there. And eventually, you know, Steve got famous, and he got turned into a celebrity, and they lost touch. Just, you know, Steve moved to Hollywood or wherever he moved to, and they just lost touch with this guy. And years and years and years passed, and suddenly it's his 60th birthday, and the producer, and I think Steve was trying to find where this guy was and what he was up to. I imagine he wasn't exactly where he was a bunch of years ago anymore. And the producer tracked him down and found him. And Steve said, my whole life I've been trying to find you to pay you back. He's like, guess what? I'm really rich now. And I wanted to pay you back. He's like, and he said to him, "It's like, I'm nothing without you. I have nothing to my name. I had no opportunities. You just decided to give this little black kid a chance and give him some money and get him on his feet." And so that's an example of someone who, I imagine any time he experienced success, or at least now when he was able to get back in touch with this man, he understood the reason. Any time I have any success in my life, it's because I was given that chance originally by that guy. And that's essentially what the Sfas Emes is trying to say, or at least the way we want to understand it, which is, anytime we experience renewal, anytime we feel like we have it in us to do something special, and Rosh Chodesh symbolizes that, as opposed to Shabbos, where Shabbos exists, whether we keep it or not, whether we like it or not, it's there. Rosh Chodesh is something that we make. We make an everyday, normal day special. By the way, Gun Chodesh, it's Rosh Chodesh right now. It's something that we have the ability to do, and not just that God gave it to us, but that we have it symbolizes the everyday normal Jew, normal day, Tuesday morning, whatever, nothing special is going on, and yet we have the ability to make that special. Where did we get that power from? We got it from Hashem. Now, going back to the Torah Tamimah, my take on it, and then we're going to finish, is maybe the idea is that, and there's a lot of Torah, you have to read the beginning of the Nesiv HaShalom on Hanukkah. He talks about how the Jewish people are compared to the moon, and there are lots of different ways that they are. He explains the waxing and waning, how there are ups and downs, and how every time you think we're almost out, we're just a little sliver, we start to get back, growing up again and expanding again. And maybe the idea of change, of chiddush, of chadash, of renewal, of feeling down and out, or feeling like it's just one day is blending into another, and what's special about this day or this month, and I don't know, davening, I don't know, learning, I don't know about the Judaism thing. And I unfortunately, I'll be honest with you, open with you, I've been here a few years. There are some people that I see are going strong. There are other people, unfortunately, maybe you see their dress is changing over a year or two, or what they're doing with their free time is changing, and I'm not blaming, I'm not judging. I won't judge at all until I'm in their shoes, and even then. But it's hard. It's hard to feel on an everyday basis when you're doing so many other things that are important in your life to feel I could keep this part of my life, this spirituality, real and fresh and new and fun and meaningful. And it's not an easy thing. maybe it's easy when there's a nice Givat Shmuel in Shabbos, or when there's a holiday when you're with your family, shout out, or when there are special occasions where you can, where the meaning is kind of there for you, where you just walk into the meaningful experience. But what about when you have to create it yourself? And maybe those points, when it's a random day and it's dark out and it's winter and it's cold and it's annoying to get up and get dressed and go do something meaningful, even coming to the shir, for example, you might feel like you're just this like little sliver. There's just like literally like you're kind of hanging there. You're not dead. You know, it's not that you're empty in there, but you're running low. Your gas tank is really low on the meaningful scale. On the something important to me, something spiritually uplifting scale. And maybe the idea of even Moshe couldn't see it. And if you were here for my shiurim in the past 2 weeks or you listened online, one of the themes of Moshe is him struggling to understand or to realize his true potential. And he denied his own potential to God until God got angry at him. God saying, you are meant to lead the Jewish people out of Egypt. And Moshe's like, I don't think I am. And we mentioned by Tzipporah that Tzipporah was someone who could make this tremendous change in her life, someone from going from a house of idol worship all the way to being Moshe Rabbeinu's wife, and her kind of knocking sense into him saying, hey, when there's something important to do, when there's a mission that you have, especially if God's giving it to you himself, go do it. Don't deny yourself that opportunity. Don't deny that you have it in you. Go do it. Maybe here Moshe again isn't seeing what Hashem's showing him, which is, you could be down and out. You could feel so far away from who you are. You could be in the middle of a desert, in the middle of the darkness. There's not even a moon in the sky. But if you see that little sliver, know that things are about to change. Things could rise just as easily as they fell. And that you have that spark in you, and you could make it new, and it could be a random weekday, and it could still be this Kiddush HaChodesh, making something holy, making something new. Maybe that was the idea of the Torah Tamima. What's amazing is, and this is the very last point, source number 8, one of the most interesting, most meaningful tefillos to me personally in all of davening the entire year. And it happens every Shabbos Mevarchim. It almost catches me by surprise because sometimes you don't remember that it's Shabbos Mevarchim and they start singing. I'm like, oh my God, the most meaningful tefillah to me, you know? I need a minute before that. It's Kiddush HaChodesh. It's the Birchas HaChodesh, sorry. And why is this so meaningful to me? We're just blessing a moon, which again, like we mentioned, is not even relevant practically because it's coming, it's happening the same way it is with other days. But the way that the Chazal worded it, it doesn't make sense, at least on the surface, which is the following. Here it's only for Nechashem, okay, no, okay, v'seinu. Perfect. I would have done it exactly the same way. I approve. Every single word after this makes no sense to me. Give me a long life. Chaim shel shalom, a peaceful life. Chaim shel tova, chaim shel bracha. Good, blessing. Parnasa, chilut atzamo, strength. Chaim shishpim yer shamayim, yer aschet. Chaim, 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 chaim shetei banu avas Torah. It's as if we're pleading for our lives. This is literally, if you would have told me that this is the middle of Musaf on Yom Kippur, I would have believed you 100%. And why are we asking for the rest of our lives for it to have a life of peace and a life of happiness and prosperity and of love of Torah and of fear of God? Chaim Shayimali Hashem Mishal Zibin Tova, why don't you just say Chodesh Aruch? Chodesh shal shalom, chodesh shal tova. That makes so much sense, and it's so perfectly worded if you just switch the word chaim with chodesh. That's what we're blessing, the new month, not the new life. Unless the idea of a new month is not just to have another 30 days of life, but that every new month is a chance to have a new life. A chance to say, maybe I'm at the, you know, little tiny sliver in terms of my spirituality, in terms of my Avodas Hashem. But I'm not saying, okay, maybe this week will be different, or maybe, you know, as we enter a new month, you know, I could do things here and there. What if every moment, and this just being symbolic of every random moment, as we just saw in the Sfas Semes, every random moment is that ability to me to say, I have a new life today. I can wake up and I could just be different. If I want to, if I really need to, if I care about it enough, I could say this new month is going to be the first day of a new life for me. It's New Year's resolution, but magnified and maybe real. It's something where I could say, tomorrow or even today, I'm going to be a new person. And that was the idea all the way back in the beginning of Kiddush HaChodesh, where we're saying, God is saying, make a clean break from who you were. Do not believe that you were the slave that made bricks and built pyramids and that's all you're amounting to. You have to redefine yourself in your mind as someone new, someone who is loved by God, someone who is separated, someone who is given a gift of time, a gift of opportunity to build a life for yourself with unlimited potential. And you have to believe in that. And the way to believe in that is to not take a day of your life, any one day of your life, as just 24 hours. Take it as the beginning of a brand new life for you. And then every day could be meaningful. Every day could be this new, unbelievable journey. Yeah, it could be something that you built off of last week, but every day you could wake up, or every month you could wake up and say, this is a new life. This is a new opportunity for me. And that's an extremely important point. Once you get to Kiddush HaChodesh or Birkas HaChodesh, hopefully it will shake you up and remember that really this tefillah I could have in mind every day. That I should wake up and say, today I want to have a good life. And it sounds weird to say, but why not? Isn't that the point? Isn't that what we're trying to accomplish here with Birkas HaKodesh? So hopefully, still in pretty cold weather over here, pretty dark winter, hopefully we'll remind ourselves that there is no moment in time, based on this idea of Kiddush HaKodesh, there is no moment in time where we don't have this ability to renew, to think of a new life, and to dream a little and to say, okay, what if I just went in the direction that I wanted to go and I didn't feel like I'm in quicksand or that I am what I am or that, oh, if only the circumstances were right, you know, if I was back in seminary or yeshiva or if I was back or if I had my rebbeim or, I don't know, my family, whatever. If I had those circumstances, then I could be okay. No, that's a Shabbos way of thinking. And we have that. That's for the end of the week. But in the middle of the week, you say, okay, I need to create my spirituality for me. I need to create my connection to God, and I can. The opportunity is there. So hopefully, we should be able to take this idea and use it to our advantage to feel renewed, just like the Jewish people at this very parsha felt like a new human being, a new nation of individuals that have new lives, and we can feel that same thing. Chazal say, Sforim say that when that parsha, when we read the parsha, the kochos that we read about, the stories that we read about, it's chal on the people that are living it, that are reading the parsha that week. So we should have this chiyus, this life to us, this chayim shel shalom, chayim shel tova, like we read in Birkas HaChodesh, and use it to our advantage and create that life that we want for ourselves.